sec. So to check my toss reset, got the autos on right.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Ambivision Chat. This is our third episode, recording on July 16th, and I have two guests with me. I have Steve.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Amro is here today.
What's up, guys?
Yep, and just the three of us.
He's appeared more on chat than he has on the Ambivision podcast for a while.
This is actually my first chat episode.
Oh yeah, nice, cool. Yeah, we have Jared with us, but he's not here, obviously.
Yeah, Jero just recently had a birthday, so he's now officially too old to watch anime.
Oh, he took the anime card away?
Damn. Exactly. Yeah, we had to revoke it.
that's pretty funny. Oh well, but so we got some news, just I guess anime news related to anime, and just some games that are here, but still related to all things anime. I guess we start off with Lupin the Third, Castle of... I always mess these words up. Cagliostro, I guess, was the name. Film to play in America.
Cagliostro, I think is how it's pronounced.
Right, yeah. That character name, I've seen it pop up a lot. But there's a movie coming out, I guess, on September 14th. A dub and sub on the 19th. Fathom Events. I always see those, and like, I get jealous of the people that live in the bigger cities. They get to see all those kind of anime movies in theaters. I have, like, a mom-and-pop place that doesn't really play a lot of anime movies. But, yeah. Other Ghibli films being shown to 2017 include Kiki's Delivery Service, Castle in the Sky, Nausicaa, Spirited Away, and Howl's Moving Castle. I guess they're doing some kind of marathon, I guess.
I would love to see Castle in the Sky and Nausicaa in the theater. Like, those are two really grand... I actually saw both Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle in the theater. But Castle in the Sky and Nausicaa, those are, like, so classics. And they're, like, two of my favorites. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the other Ghibli movies, but if I were to say which one was my favorite, it'd actually probably be Castle in the Sky. But then Nausicaa would be either second or third on that list.
I've only seen maybe about three or four of his movies.
Yeah,
I don't know. This is kind of like a style that doesn't really appeal to me all that much. But
I hate you a little bit.
Yeah. We need to kidnap Fosh and force him to watch some Ghibli movies.
I did see that new like little mini commercial they made for Kiki's Delivery Service. Like, updated animation with it. Like, a little clip they showed from it. I don't know what they're promoting. I guess it's just a little clip of it. And another stupid news. Sword Art Online movie. I guess it's supposed to... They might be teasing Asuna's nipples in the Blu-ray. It's like, okay, well, you know. Well, obviously, they're running out of money.
How is this a stupid story? Well, this is an amazing story. Everyone knows it.
Now I have to buy the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I know. You have to buy it now. You get some nipples.
My thing is just like, it's probably going to be like a 1 second clip, like even that far fast, you know, long of a clip. Bam,
yeah,
done.
But they're Asuna's nipples. I mean,
meanwhile, like, you know, Toru has like topless shots every episode. So, you know, yeah, it seems kind of weird.
Yeah, like, you know, when you see too many, it just.
Yeah.
I was going to say. You see too many, it just, man, whatever. It's that brief glimpse that it's all about, you know?
Well, I guess maybe for a character. I guess a character you've never seen like that, I guess, maybe. I don't know. But still, like, there's plenty of fan art if you really are desperate.
True. But, you know, and, they're not official.
Right, yeah, not official. Not designed by the, you know, creator.
It's like seeing, you know, fakes of celebrities on the internet. It's just not the same, you know?
Exactly.
Right. So manga news. Kimi no Todoroki manga entering its final arc, I guess, for the one month hiatus after the author, I guess he was sick. So
that's pretty cool.
The ending here. Yeah.
I never read the manga or anything, but I really did like the first two seasons of it. So knowing it's actually going to end maybe actually make me get me go check out the manga and see how the rest of the story plays out.
Right.
I'm actually surprised it was still running.
True. Anything popular, though, they tend to play out until it dies.
Right.
Yeah.
From gaming news, Kingdom Hearts 3 gets a 2018 release window with the Toy Story World. I guess I saw the little trailer for that. It looks interesting.
Yeah, like, So the 2018, you know, it's the broadest date, you know, like it really
Right.
is like the entire year of 2018 is the release window. So we don't have anything more specific, but they showed off a really long, you know, detailed trailer of the Toy Story world, and it looks freaking gorgeous. Like, it's kind of funny because Toy Story has always been that one thing that people reference when they're talking about how good the graphics look in something. And they're like, oh man, it looks just like Toy Story. This literally looks just like Toy Story because it is Toy Story, but it actually looks better. Like honestly, if you look at that trailer, it looks better than any of the movies. You know,
They're all like 10 years old. So,
well, oh yeah, I mean, like you know, talking about the '95 movie, yeah, absolutely. But like even Toy Story, which was relatively newer, like. Kingdom Hearts 3 just looks incredible, and the amount of enemies on screen and just the crazy action, like it all looks really really cool. So I know it's been forever that they've been talking about this game, but I'm super excited to really actually get into it when it comes out.
How close do you think you're going to hit this 2018 date? You think they're going to push it back another 2 years or whatever? Just like, oh, we want to hit that date, but we can't.
Yeah, the pessimist in me thinks that it's going to be pushed back to 2019, but if they do come out in 2018, it's not going to be until like November or December or something.
Well, that last question, even going to get Tom Hanks to come in for that to play Woody. Probably, he's probably like video game said.
We could probably get Tim Allen to do it.
Right. Yeah.
they'll get right. A really good sound.
Yeah. He needs money. He needs to have a job. So we come back and play Buzz. I guess that'd be funny.
There you go.
In Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Trilogy, its Legacy Collection, coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC August 25th, which, you know, it's cool. Those games I know are very popular, the Naruto and Ninja Storm ones. I've never played them, so I don't know.
They're pretty good. I have the... can't remember what number it is, but it's like the Ultimate Ninja Storm, which was like the final one on PS4, and... the Boruto DLC came out, and I have it. I just haven't gotten around to playing it.
I went to looking at the new Dragon Ball game going. We should have done that. 2D Fighters.
Oh man, I cannot wait for Dragon Ball Fighters. I don't know if I've actually talked about that on the podcast yet, but that looks incredible. Okay, it's been a long time since my last episode.
I thought it was funny when I was watching the E3 thing. Out of all the games that were hyped, that was the most hyped game I've seen. Like an anime game. Yeah. Wow, that's unusual.
Oh, that's right. I was on.
To be fair, Dragon Ball Z is so mainstream now.
Well, yeah, I mean it's true.
Yeah,
that's true. I guess Arc Systems works announcing Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle. There's going to be characters from Blaze Blue. I think that's what it is. BB is anyway.
Yeah.
Persona 4 Arena, Under Night, and Birth, and Ruby. For some reason, I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, I saw this announced on Twitter. It was like, what?
that's some weird crossovers.
It makes total sense because ignoring Ruby, Arc System Works does, you know, they make Blaze Blue, Under Night Inbirth, and Persona 4 Arena fighting games, right? And they're all 2D sprite fight, you know, sprite based fighters. Mm-hmm. It just makes complete sense for them to be like, let's put them all together. And so I never thought they would do something like this, but you know, here it is, and it's going to be a 2-on-2 team-based fighter. It's 2D hand-drawn graphics and stuff, and for some reason Ruby's in there too. I'm like, okay. But yeah,
right.
I can't believe that after announcing Dragon Ball FighterZ, now we are also getting this crossover game like from the same people, and that's just awesome. It's a good time to be a fighting game fan.
You think they're going to add like DLC for like Dragon Ball characters down the road?
I doubt it. Just because of the fact that they're having a Dragon Ball game, they're not going to want to try to compete with another game.
Right.
If the Dragon Ball game was also 2D sprites, then yes. But Dragon Ball is 3D. It's kind of like Guilty Gear is now because they also make Guilty Gear. And you'll notice that Guilty Gear is absent from the crossover. That's because they moved over to 3D models for Guilty Gear and Dragon Ball FighterZ. So, Maybe we'll get a crossover for those.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. And I guess the last bit of news, Seven Deadly Sins anime, I guess there's another season coming out in January this, and they got a movie also coming out, which I'm assuming is going to be a recap or maybe one side story or whatever, but yeah, they're, yeah. So I'm happy about that. I'm a big fan of that series.
Kind of fell out of interest in that show. I was watched a few episodes and then I just kind of stopped.
Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty good. I watched the first 26 episode season on Netflix. And then they released a quote unquote second season, but it's only 4 episodes. I haven't seen those yet. But then they also recently announced that there's going to be a game based off of it from Bandai Namco. So let's see how that turns out.
Right, yeah. And I guess that's it for the news. Anything to talk about the news so far? It's pretty interesting stuff. I mean, yeah, the game stuff I'm not really into as much, but it's cool seeing that they're getting people getting what kind of things they want here or there. Especially for the
good,
Kingdom
good
Hearts.
Anime
I
games.
I know Kingdom Hearts is that game that everyone's like just waiting for.
Yeah,
people were losing their shit.
Oh yeah, they always do. I'm not as big a fan as it, but I'm glad people are excited for that. Cool. I guess we're jumping to the anime stuff. This is, I guess, talking about shows. Some shows may have missed during your guys' last recording, but maybe shows you're just enjoying in general. I guess we'll start with Steve here. What's one of your shows you're kind of like really enjoying the season so far?
So, kind of like a interesting, because like we never actually got to talk about this one because it came out a day after we recorded, but Welcome to the Ballroom came out, and like I wasn't really expecting a whole lot from it. Like I knew a little bit about it, but I was like, why not? You know, it's got a good studio, and like just in general, it sounds a little unique. IG is filming it. It just sounded a little more unique, you know. Just hearing because it's about ballroom dancing and everything like that. So I decided to check it out, and I really enjoyed that first episode. And I don't know, have either of you two watched the show?
Yeah, I watched. I've seen it. It's like easily probably one of the most highly, I think, animated shows.
Oh yeah,
right now this season.
They really take detail into the kind of animation. And the second episode came out today, and I got to watch that one too. And it made me even like the show even more because I felt like I really liked the characters. I think that's one thing that the show really has. The main character, Tatara, obviously probably some kind of dancing pun thing. Tatara sounds like something. Of course, even the main character, Kaname, or not the main character, the main dance instructor guy, you know, the big, you know, blonde-headed Latin awesome guy. He's
right.
So fun to watch. Like, him and his interactions and just looking at Tatara, it's so brilliantly done. I just enjoy watching them all together. And of course, in the second episode, they also introduced another, a new character, Hyondo, who's like this amazing dancer guy, and he's really fun to watch. Like, did you watch the second episode today?
Not yet. I haven't seen it.
There's like this amazingly hilarious part where, you know, Hondo Kun, he's like yawning, and he looks like he's murdering somebody when he yawns, and it's just absolutely hysterical. He's just like the weirdest face ever. But yeah, it's just a really cool show, and I enjoy it. I mean, sure, it's got a little bit of the stupid trope where Tatara is this amazing natural talent, but you know, you kind of have to have that because you're talking about years of experience versus a guy who just jumps in. So
yeah, he's got to be that self-insert character.
Yeah, I think the show just handles itself very well, and I just enjoy the kind of lightheartedness and the funness of this. And even if dancing isn't necessarily the most amazing thing to watch, and be dancing, this is feels a lot like a sports anime because, you know, it has
right,
that same trope. But it's still just very fun to watch. And I really enjoy the main characters, and it just makes me kind of excited to see more. So I'm really just digging the show.
Right, yeah. Most people probably argue the sports in the air quotations, like, yeah, sure, it's sports. You know, but, I mean, I think it is. I count a sport as like, there's competitions, people mm-hmm. going against each other. That, to me, is a sport. Well,
yeah.
I get a lot of flack for saying, like, Gun and Build Fighters isn't a sport. And I mean, I'm like, yeah, it technically is. The tournament, they fight each other. They're not physically doing it, but come on, it's... But the ballroom is pretty good, you know. It's a new take on it. It's something they haven't really explored in anime, so it's kind of cool seeing they're trying something new, you know. And it's from the guys that did Haikyuu, so the designs from that show. So it's like they kind of know what they're doing, so I trust that they're going to do very good that series. And a lot of people are kind of happy that it's not guy dancing, because if it was, a lot of people probably would turn off by that.
I don't really care if it's guy dancing, but
yeah, me, I wouldn't care. I mean,
but it's ballroom dancing, and no matter how you look at it, ballroom dancing is very traditional. So I'd be very surprised. Obviously, there's probably some story out there where they let some you know guys dance, but it's again being traditional as it is, and being Japan actually as it is,
right.
Yeah. But I think the characters are great. I think that's what draws any sports anime lives or dies, whether or not the characters should be good and whether or not they can make the sport interesting. And I think that's still a little bit left to be seen. We'll have to wait and see on how it handles the ballroom, because there has been ballroom dancing, don't get me wrong, but it's been very light in the show so far. So, definitely enjoyable.
Right, yeah. And it's not going to be any, oh, he's doing the rarest dance. Not going to be anything like that. Sorry.
No.
We're not having that. Amro, what are you enjoying so far in the season? One of your shows?
So, first show I want to bring up is Gamers, with an exclamation point. So I think this is a rare one where me and Steve agree. I really enjoyed the first episode. You know, I liked the introduction to all the characters and the premise of the gaming club. I also really liked that it's a show about gamers, but it's realistic. You know, I don't know what's the best way to put it, but like you know, when you walk into the club room and you see one of the club members playing a game, it's actually a fighting game. Like it's specifically Guilty Gear. And
they did knock off CS:GO.
Yeah. You know, the guy who was what is that, Counter Strike, right?
Yeah, Counter Strike, CS:GO.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I was about to say. The guy playing the, you know, it wasn't a real first person shooter, but I thought it was a pretty good approximation of a first person shooter, including the funny part where he was just jumping on top of the car.
Yeah, they did actually parody one of the levels. So that is actually a parody on one of the levels. But yeah, you're right. He's like, I just love the scenery, and you just see him get sniped in the face.
I was like, that's probably me. That's how I play those games.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, cool, dead.
So yeah, I liked, you know, I liked the setup and the premise, and the fact that he, you know, the girl basically finds him and she's like, oh, you're a natural talent at gaming and stuff, or you're a hardcore gamer and I want you to join my club, but he refuses because he's not all about the competition. Like, he just wants to play games for fun.
I thought
that was actually an interesting take.
I really liked, like, that was one of the things that really sold me on this show, was the main character Amano is just absolutely hilarious in the way he kind of delivers things, because, you know, most of these shows follow the exact same tropes over and over again.
Yeah.
But this show, as you said, it does deliver in those kind of like, oh, he's going to shake his hand, he's going to be great, and then, oh, I almost missed that invite, and he completely makes her, like, cry and run away, and it's just like, oh, even like the scene where he's like, it's like, I don't have a really good backstory, you know, I just like games. And then the other guy,
me neither.
I don't have any good backstory. It's just like, oh.
Except that he had amnesia, and the only thing he could remember was that he was good at block puzzle games. He was like, what the hell?
He's like, traitor. Yeah, that was absolutely hysterical. I really, like, that first episode, like, there wasn't a minute of that first episode I did not enjoy. So it was just so handled very well. I love that.
And, you know, I'm all about romantic comedies, and there seems to be a lot of potential there in this show, so... You know, I may have read a few things about it, but I'm looking forward to seeing more for sure.
Yeah, I like that one so far. It's, like I said, kind of a good take on gamers, you know, and it's showing all different kinds of classes of gamers. Got the fighting game nerd, you got the FPS nerd. So it's like all of them have their genres they kind of specialize in. So I'm just seeing what else they explore. Like,
the main character Coon was a filthy casual mobile game player nerd.
Right. Yeah, and then his mysterious friend that he doesn't know yet, and he's playing the game with. It's like, yeah, there's probably something there.
You know, she's totally going to join the club at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Right, obviously. Yeah. I didn't play much of Persona 5, but she reminds me of that hacker girl from that game.
Oh, Saba, yeah.
Yeah, kind of almost same even the way she sits in her chair, I'm like, kind of, you know, reminds me of that. But yeah, so far I'm enjoying that one.
I'm very interested in how that other guy, I can't remember his name, Tasuku, that one random guy. He's like, yeah, eventually these guys will be talking a lot, because that's another kind of aspect of the show I feel like is going to be intriguing, is how they work that way into. I know they'll probably all join the Gamers Club because obviously, still, it is one of those things where it just, I felt like that first episode was handled so well. Like, it didn't feel too tropey or didn't feel like it went in a predictable path, and I just enjoyed it, like that whole aspect of it.
Right, it didn't try too hard. It does remind me of the Art Club Has a Problem, which was out, I think, 2 seasons ago, which is sort of the same, where it's comical and it's, you're trying to get him to join this club and do things, but he doesn't want to, so I'm Gamers will be a little bit better on that and do some of that. I mean, obviously he's going to join later, like you said. I guess one of my shows I'm watching that I'm kind of enjoying, which I think the second episode's out tonight, I haven't seen it, but Princess Principal, which is, I think, set in Victorian England, I think, and it's about these girls that are a group of spies, so they're doing all these, like, spy stuff with, like, you know, escorting people that are, you know, I guess a war area, trying to get him out of there. It was the first episode, and so far it's got these kind of cutesy-looking character designs, which kind of doesn't work for a lot of people, but it works for this, and it's got, you know, pretty good production, and it's steampunk a little bit, so all these, like, futuristic weapons that, you know, you wouldn't really work, obviously, in the real world. But, so I guess they have this kind of magic powers with the weapons they've acquired. So it's kind of interesting what they're doing. In the first episode, they kind of surprised me by, there's a guy they're supposed to be escorting, and he's working for, like, the enemy team. But I guess he was still working for them at the end, so they kind of had to kill him because he knew their secret about the spy organization. So they had to take him out, which surprised me. I was like, I thought he would have been a good dude, and they saved him, and he would have, you know, liked the payback. Yeah. Right, but this way, they twisted it. It's like, no, he's actually still working for the enemy team, and he was like a mole to find you guys, but they had to kill him. So I was like, damn, it's pretty weird. But yeah, it's interesting, and I don't know if a lot of people are going to watch it because it's, you know, again, the cute character designs kind of throw you off.
I actually tried to watch this show when it first came out. I got through about 10 minutes of it before I kind of got... I just lost interest. Right. I don't know if it wasn't necessarily designs as much as, like, I just felt like I wasn't getting into the show and the story. And I do love steampunky kind of stuff too. I don't know. It was just something about the show where it didn't really feel like sometimes you'll watch a show and you know, oh, this is shit. You know, but this show, I didn't really feel like that. I just couldn't, like, grab it and couldn't, like, get into the whole story, and I just didn't feel the characters at all.
Yeah, I think the problem with the two also is, I mean, it's got too many characters. I mean, I think first episode is like 8 different characters you're introduced to really fast. Mm-hmm. You don't know much about them, but I think each of them have a special skill. There's one girl, she's like a little maid, and she can mimic people's voices. So if she was on a phone and she lured someone out by pretending to be like some official character, like high official, so he came out and they captured him that way. So it's kind of cool that each of them have this, like, a skill or a talent. You got the one that's just like a good driver. One's like a expert. I guess they have a samurai for some reason. It shows she's a good killer. There's a lot of characters that have interesting, you know, what skills they can provide, I guess. So I guess that's why they have a big cast. But I think it hurts them to have too many characters, you know. But yeah, so I'm enjoying that. But I don't really have much else to say about it because I haven't seen the second episode. So I'm curious where it goes. But yeah, we'll see. So, Steve, what's your second favorite thing you're enjoying this season?
I'm not going to really call it a favorite.
Okay.
Just a show that I thought was interesting that I didn't really get to talk about when we did the Anavision preview. And that's Dive. My thing is, like, it wasn't bad. Like, I did enjoy it. Like, I watched both first two episodes. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it, but I got why it's actually a pretty decent anime. It is very strongly sports again.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, this one a little more obvious than the last one. But I think to me, like, I really like the main character. He's pretty cool. He has a very weird relationship with another main character. So we have Sakaki, who's kind of like the main, I guess you could say, character. He's he's the one that joins the dive club after, you know, when he's younger. And that's the other thing I will say is this show is there's not like, oh, this guy is, you know, never dived before and now he's suddenly amazing. You know, he joined it. He's been diving now for like 5 years. But he's nowhere near as good as this other guy, Yoichi. And it's just like a weird relationship. I'm a little curious to see where they go with it. Because it kind of feels like I'm not sure if it's an older brother thing, because he's a couple years older than him, or like a homosexual gay thing. I could probably look it up. It is very it is very weird. Like, he's always around him, looking at him, kind of like poking fun of him. Like he one point he has a boy girlfriend. Sakaki has a girlfriend, and he walks to the club, and Yoichi kind of looks at him and gives him like a weird dirty look. I'm like, is he jealous? And then, like, another time, he's looking at, like, their hot new coach, and she's, you know, she's hot, and he's like, she's got a nice butt, and he's like, yeah, you know, just kind of like it felt like a little bit of a weird sentence. Like, just the way, like, I'm curious. Maybe I could look into it, because I know it's a manga series and everything, but it's just, again, a very strange relationship, I would say, and I'm curious to see where that is a little bit. But overall, it was interesting enough. It's sports anime, sports. So, and the fact is, there's a lot of sports anime this season. You know, I am invested in Ballroom. I really like that one, so I'm definitely watching that one. But another show I really like is that I'm keeping up with. I saw the third episode today was Clean Freak Aoyama-kun, and I think the only reason why I don't know if I'll stick with Dive for the whole season is just simply because Dive is a very serious show. It takes it very seriously. There's not a whole lot of comedy in it. And the thing is, Dive has actually got like a live action adaptation. So it's a fairly popular show. And it's, I think it's based off of somewhat of an older series, like, you know, 2000s, maybe late 2000s. So, you know, it's not like a relatively recent series. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong about that. I have to look that up, but I'm pretty sure I saw that. But Aoyama-kun takes things completely jokingly and more comedically. So this being so serious kind of does have a different feeling to it, but that can also probably make me feel like it gets a little bit old. So I don't know if I will stick with it, but I am enjoying it for what it is, because it is a little bit more unique in the fact that it's about diving specifically. Mm-hmm. So, and there's not a lot of shows about diving. Obviously, you have swim shows here and there, but being about diving just have that little bit of a advantage there of having that being a little bit more unique in that aspect. So, I don't know. I did enjoy it to invest in two episodes. So, you know, maybe I'll stick with it. Maybe I won't. I did find it pretty, at least interesting enough.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I like that so far. I've seen the first two episodes. And, like, yeah, like you said, there are things that are kind of make you think that, like, maybe he's not into girls as much. But also I felt that they threw in that those comments to prove the fact that maybe he's not interested in boys. You know, just to
I felt like hit, it's like a, you know, like a snide remark almost.
Yeah,
like,
could be.
Hey. Anyway, yeah, maybe I'm seeing things that aren't there.
That's true.
I'm just saying, you know, like, geez, it's a show about, like, half mostly naked young men,
right?
In, you know, like in a sports anime, and there's homosexual tension in there. No way.
I was gonna say free.
Maybe that's, you know, that's why they're building it up. Is just
it was all that. Yeah. Well, that, and, you know, fans who will take it to extreme always. They always do, especially sports anime. I've noticed that a lot with sports anime, that certain groups attach to that, and they just, you know, oh, this guy's good for this guy. I'm like, he's not. He never said any series, so. You know?
But then we have Yuri on it.
Yeah, true. And the funny thing with Dive, I thought was funny, it's the same guy did the Bill Fighters character designs, and the music guy from Bill Fighters is there. He's also doing a Ballroom. So that's pretty good.
Oh, nice.
That's where he's doing music for, like, non-really action-y shows this season. I'm like, yeah, it's weird, but...
It is. One thing I wanted to make about the animation, it's actually got a pretty good animation.
Oh, yeah, it does, yeah.
But it's by a studio that, like, I've never really heard of, Zero G. And I looked them up, and they only have done a couple things relatively recently, too. So, like, they just did Sugo Momo. So that show, they did that one. So That I will at least give it that, because a lot of times new studios will come out and they'll just kind of look like their animation will be like, eh, that's subpar. But I think the animation here has been pretty well done.
Oh, yeah. It's nice looking. Amra, what's your other show you were kind of liking or want to talk about?
So, you know, it wouldn't be me if I didn't want to talk about the mecha show of the season. So Knights of Magic, I think you guys talked about it in the episode preview that I wasn't on, but I've seen the first two episodes of it, and, you know, I'm enjoying it a little bit. Like, it's, you know, I wouldn't say it's super great, but, you know, it's the guy gets reincarnated in a fantasy world that we've seen so many times recently, but, you know, this time it's got giant robots. So it's kind of like the purest form of wish fulfillment. It's almost very similar to Tanya, you know, like the one from, I think, two seasons ago.
Yeah, Tanya the Evil, yeah.
Dude got reincarnated in a you know, fantasy world, but as a little girl. Like, this time it's a programmer dude gets reincarnated as a little boy, and there's, you know, there's giant robots, and he loved giant robots and model kits and stuff in the world. So he carried over that fascination of robots, and the fact that he was a skilled programmer. He's basically applying programming logic to magic to make things a lot better. And you got to see that basically applied in the second episode, where he was piloting a robot like way better than what you would normally be able to with like the mechanical operations. And I just kind of like that, you know, it's basically the dude's going to be advancing robot technology in this fantasy world, based off of his, you know, programming skills and also his otaku fandom of giant robots. Like, there was a really good line in the second episode where the giant beast was rampaging around and, you know, breaking robots and stuff. And he's like, the only thing that's allowed to destroy a giant robot is another giant robot.
Yeah, meanwhile, people are dying while he's doing that.
Like, it was a serious situation. Like, you know, like, oh, yeah. people were getting smashed up and dying and stuff, but he was just having the time of his life.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, the character. He's a likable guy. I mean, I'm glad he's not like, oh, this sucks. Oh, you know.
As soon as he saw that giant robot, he was like, this is the world I'm supposed to be in. even though it's 3D CG for the robots and stuff, like, the action was pretty good, and I'm looking forward to seeing more.
I think Bandai is behind that one, I think. Or Sunrise, one of the two. Maybe Bandai.
I have no idea about the studio or whatever, but yeah, I guess I'll have to check that up.
Yeah, for me... You go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was going to say, for me, it's like, the robots remind me a lot of Breakblade, if anyone's seen that. Where they're robots, but they're kind of, they call them like suits or something else. They don't refer to them as mechs. But when he says mechs, they're all like, what's that? And they're confused.
They're like, robot? What's a robot?
Yeah, what's a robot? But yeah, I thought it was cool that he woke up. You know, as a kid, he kind of forgot his memories. When he saw the robot, it kind of triggered something. So he kind of remembered everything. And I do like how he uses his, you know, his, I guess, programming skills to apply it to magic. That was kind of an interesting way to use his other real-world skill set, I guess, like building robots or building model kits can come in later, I assume. Because that's his dreams, to build his own custom machine. So.
Oh, yeah, like, you can tell he's a total, like, otaku fanboy of giant robots, right? So, like, you know, he loves the robots themselves, and the fact that there's, you know, giant demon monsters roaming the countryside is just an excuse for him to pilot robots. You know, and he's definitely going to at some point make his own machine and customize it, and you know, it's going to be totally decked out and stuff. And I'm just looking forward to seeing, because, you know, like, we've seen fantasy mecha before, like Escaflowne, and like you mentioned, Breakblade was kind of sort of fantasy-ish. So it's kind of interesting to see a character who's familiar with the giant robot genre in a fantasy setting with mecha. And kind of like advancing it, you know, based off of his knowledge of, you know, real world programming and also his fandom of anime. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more.
I think I was like, we watched this first episode together, And I liked the first episode, but I don't know. I watched the second episode as well because I was just curious to see where it was going, see what else what it would do. I just saw myself not finishing the show. Mm-hmm. Like, so I don't think I'll watch another episode just because I feel like this is going to be a show where I watch and then I'll get 1 week behind, I'll get 2 weeks behind. And then you'll never finish it. And then I'll never finish it. So I was like, I think I'll just skip this one for now. I mean, I kind of agree with a lot of what you said. It wasn't bad. I did like the main character. I just didn't see myself, you know, enjoying this enough to wanting to keep up with it on a week by week basis. And if I did get behind, I don't think I'd be willing to sit through like 3 or 4 episodes at once.
Right. Yeah, that's understandable.
Right. Yeah, it'd be a hard series of marathon. I mean,
I'm hoping it keeps the quality up so far. Yeah. I haven't seen the third episode yet, but that came out today, so I'll be watching that after the chat.
Yeah, same here. I'll watch it later. But yeah, so far I like that one. It's an interesting take on mechs, and I mean, I think, you know, got slim pickings for mechs as far as, you know, the last couple seasons have gone. So
yeah.
Besides Gundam, which is like short 6-minute episode thing, like, oh, but that sucks. But my
I got to watch the most recent episodes of Gundam Thunderbolt.
Yeah, me too. I get run of that eventually. So I guess my last show that I'm really enjoying is Made in the Abyss, which is a pretty interesting series. When I first started watching it, like when I first seen the preview, I thought it was for kids because it has these very, very, very child character designs. But, you know, I watched it and it's actually not. It's more, I guess it's going to probably get a little darker here soon, but there's like 2 episodes out right now. But the main story is about, I guess it's an island somewhere, and there's a big crater in it. And this crater goes down for, like, I don't know how many miles. I should have wrote it down, but it's pretty deep. And there's all these different layers to it, like levels. So as you get deeper, obviously it starts affecting the human body.
So it's kind of like, it's classic RPG when you think about it. You know, instead of a tower going up, it's a crater going down.
Yeah, going down with the bottom being the worst, obviously, with the highest, you know, difficulty for the humans to get down there. But so I guess there's a like an orphanage, because I guess their parents, well, they go down there and obviously don't come back sometimes, so like their kids get left behind, obviously. So there's an orphanage that takes these kids in, and they're training these kids to be future, I guess they call them raiders, so which is obviously, like you said, more fantasy element added to that. So they're training to go down into this abyss, what they call it. So they're trying to, I guess, figure out, I guess there's treasure down there, so that's how they make their living. They go down there, bring back artifacts, and they sell it to keep the orphanage going, paying for all that. So then you have this main character, her mom has their classification for like how good you are is based off whistles. And if you have a white whistle, you're like the highest. Or I guess the black whistle is technically higher than that, but white means you're adventurous and you've done so many raids, you come back and you just get, you know.
White whistle was the ultimate whistle.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that only one person had a white whistle, and that was the at least that we heard of, and that was her mom. So, but black whistle is like the highest most everyone gets. But then, if you're like a super amazing person, you get a white one, which they made it sound like there's not very many people that have the white one, but the mom did have one. So,
right, I think episode 2, the party comes back from the last expedition, and all they bring back is a whistle and a paper, which to most people would think, okay, that either means she's dead or she's missing. And I guess they do reveal it. They think she's dead, but obviously we all know, if you've seen the episode, her mom is still alive because she left her a message. So she's probably down there still. So that's obviously going to be the mission for Rika, to go down there and find her mom. Because Rika is also not very sad because she didn't know her mom when she was born. After she was born, she was kind of given up, and then her mom went back to her raiding. So it's like she didn't really know her mom, so that's why she's not technically that sad. Because I was like, I was confused. I'm like, why isn't she crying or anything? But then they revealed that she never knew her mom technically. So it's like, I guess it's maybe a stranger to her.
It kind of reminds me of Gon from Hunter x Hunter.
Right.
You know, going out to find his dad so he can deck him.
Right. And I think the first episode, Rico meets this robot kid that fell from the sky. So I'm like, confused where they're trying to find out where he came from, because he's like, I guess fully machine, but not really. He's more of like a cyborg, I guess, because he doesn't have human parts. You know, according to episode 2, where Rico explored his body quite a lot.
That was actually pretty funny. She was like, I stuck a stick up his butt and it broke. And then the other kid, like, the other kid a little later is like, I did get that stick out.
And then she's like, yeah, his penis is normal, like a normal kid. And he's like, what? What? Like, it's just so random. But she doesn't really seem as like a, I think she sees him more as like a toy more than anything at this point. Yeah. She's just like, she's so attached to him, and or maybe a dog, right, at this point. She's like, he's a pet. So she's like so attached to him, and you know, I guess she had to keep his identity hidden in the first episode because the orphanage, if they found out who he was, they probably would have taken him away. But so episode two, they kind of figured out, let's just make him join the school. I'm like, you should have done it in the beginning. You know, it would have been a whole lot easier. But mm-hmm. So I guess now he's a student there, or learning to be a raider like her. So he's an interesting character. He doesn't do much, but he does have like, these like stretch robotic arms. It's kind of cool. They can shoot his arm off like a grappling hook. But he's got the kind of cool features that, yeah, and I guess they did reveal episode two that her mom might have found him because she drew a picture of him. Maybe she knows about these.
It was a different one. Okay. It was similar to him, uh-huh. But he has a few different parts. Probably a robot we'll see later on in the series, I might imagine.
I did see in the opening there's another robot character. So that's probably, it looks fully machine, though. Or it could be a suit. We don't know. But so, yeah, the opening kind of did reveal something like that. But overall, this series is fun. I mean, I like it. The music's fun, and the artwork's pretty good. And that guy, I think, again, the character designs don't let that throw you off too much if you're curious about this show. It's not really for kids, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, I was a little bit, I think the first episode was, like, one of those shows where I kind of felt like I was a little detached or uninterested in it. Because I felt like the character designs did kind of phase me a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily the character designs as much. It's just the age of the characters. Being so young, I kind of feel a little detached from it. But I did watch the second episode because I was kind of curious to see where it was going to go. It did make me a little more interested in the show. I don't know if I'll stick with it. But I at least kind of felt a little more curious because I want to see where it goes. Because it almost sounds like what they're doing is, you know, it's going to be like the rest of the show is going to be like an adventure. Like right now what we're seeing is precursor. And then the rest of the show is her trying to get to the bottom of the abyss. And that I'd be much more intrigued in. If the whole episode series is going to be, you know, her going in, going a little bit deeper, coming back up, going a little bit deeper, going back up. I think I'll lose interest in that. But if it is like, you know, eventually for most of the show she's going to be actually traveling down to the bottom, it definitely has me a little more curious about it.
Right.
So I am hoping that's kind of where they take the show. But I did like it more once I watched the second episode. The first episode, I wasn't completely sold by it, but the second episode, it does at least got me kind of curious to see where it's going to go.
Right. So, yeah, it does give you that end kind of goal that she's going to reach now. She has something mm-hmm. in plan that she wants to do. That and added the bonus of telling us she was born on the fourth level, this abyss. So there's something with that, too. Either she thinks she's got immunity, because I guess at fourth level, you start, there's another thing, I think you start getting starts sick, breathing as much, and so yeah, each level has something that happens to you. So I'm wondering why they even mentioned her being born on the fourth floor. It's like you're born there, so she thinks she has an immunity, but I don't think she does. But
I think
she doesn't. Yeah,
I think it will eventually. Something that she has, you know, inside of her is going to give her advantage. Maybe her eyes, which give her headaches, they said, probably have some sort of special ability where it allows her to maybe, I don't know, notice treasures or something, you know, maybe see patterns or whatever.
Yeah, possibly see in the dark or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I imagine there's going to be something about her eyes that give her something there. So it is interesting enough. One thing I will say that makes me a little curious, as you mentioned, you didn't like Ghibli, but this show honestly has the spirit of a Ghibli kind of feeling to it. So
yeah, I've been hit over the head with that a couple times too. Certain people, it's like, yeah, you feel like that, you should try watching those. I've seen most of them, just not all of them. but yeah, so Made in the Abyss is pretty good so far. It's going somewhere. But yeah, and they also introduced, like, in the promo art, there's a hybrid rabbit person down there. So I'm wondering, so I'm guessing, like, obviously she's going to join the party. So
they mentioned once you get down to a certain level, it can transform your body. So maybe that's what happened.
Right, yeah, I read something on her bio that she was born down there, and yeah, her body had adapted to the environment. So that's why you have hybrid animal people in this series. I guess switch gears. We're going to talk about major shows we aren't really that great high on right now. We're just like, eh, they're okay, not the greatest. But Steve, what is yours? I'm kind of curious how you're gonna defend.
I'm going to trigger a lot of people
I know,
here,
I know. I've seen it.
And that's what I do. Fate Apocrypha. Yes, I said that correct. It's Krapfa. This show
is
awful.
He's been waiting all night to say that.
Yes, I came up. Like, it was actually a really great pun I came up with. I was so happy with myself, and then Arma didn't read my pun and deleted it like a fool. But no, I just like the first episode I had mentioned. You know, during this preview we did, I wasn't completely. There was a lot of talking. I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about the characters. There were a couple of interesting twists that they revealed. Like, I think all of us, you know, when we were watching the show at Jero's, we kind of thought that the servant that he had summoned at the end was another version of Saber, as in like Arthur. But it turned out to be Arthur. It was Morgana, who's if anyone knows Arthurian legend. You know, Morgan, well, obviously supposed to be a dude, but it's the son of Arthur, who he had with his sister, yes, who tricked him into making him think she was Guinevere. So,
it's fake Game of Thrones, gotcha.
Yes, because Game of Thrones came way before Arthur, the Arthurian legends. No, obviously, you don't know people don't know the Arthurian legend very well.
Well,
but yeah,
I mean,
but
the incest part is obviously.
Yeah, he's also the person that kills Arthur. He basically they get into a major fight, and Arthur kills him. But he stabs Arthur, and Arthur dies because with his wounds, and that's how the sword gets taken back by the. Anyway, I'm getting way off track here. See, I know my Arthurian legend here, but I did like that twist quite a bit. I thought that was kind of cool because a new different character, and I did enjoy that. But overall, like, it just triggered me. Everything about the show was just so bad. Like, oh, we have Moe Frankenstein's monster, and it just like I was like, this is stupid. And then like the whole order and the way they were talking to each other, just like so much about this show was just so uninteresting. And in fact, it made me a little more angry that this was a Fate series. Maybe it's just translated badly from the light novel series it's based off of. But I couldn't get into it. And I know they're kind of leading into something big because they have, you know, you have Joan of Arc and she's driving somewhere and they're like, ooh, she's driving. But there's just, it's like so much nonsense going on. It's hard to track anything. It's hard to keep up with anything. The characters are all just terrible. I just hate the characters. Like, nothing about them make me go, I'm so can't wait to watch that. But I still get the feeling what I'll end up doing is, like, hate watching this. Like, I get that feeling. Like I kind of like I did with Anonymous Noise last season. I'll like want to watch it every episode just so I could be like that guy in the audience that keeps yelling at the screen, you're stupid, why are you doing this, this is dumb, you know. I just feel like I'm going to end up doing that because I just cannot I legitimately, it feels a lot like what they did was they took generic battle anime, and you all know what I'm talking about. Like, every season there's that generic battle anime where it's like some fantasy war with some new fantasy power, and the characters are all bland and all just like you've seen like a million times over. And I feel like that's what this is. It's just got the name Fate in front of it, and so we're all more excited about it, but it's really kind of garbage.
I want to interject here, and this is the part where I would normally be like, Steve is stupid. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But I have not seen Fate Apocrypha yet because it's a Netflix show, and that means we're not going to be able to see it until it's fucking done.
You're not going to be able to see it unless you've got the technology called downloading it.
Exactly.
Which is super hard.
If you're a pirate, which I hung up my pirate flag a long time ago.
Hey, I've got Netflix and stuff, so I've got no problem with that. I just, why wait for something like this to come out?
This is when Netflix is killing anime. Netflix and Amazon, but that's a topic for some other time.
I think the problem is, I'll just one last thing I'll add about the Netflix thing. Netflix and Amazon, the reason why they're doing this is because I feel like they're too scared to do a weekly thing because their motto is everything at once. So yeah, I feel like that might change over time, bullshit, though.
Because Little Witch Academia was a 26 episode series, and they waited until all 26 episodes aired in Japan and then released half of it.
Well, that's still half a season, so it's still all at once kind of scenario. It might have been half at once, but that was one season at once.
Yeah, but you know, like if they were going to do that, they should have released that season, that half a season, or whatever, at the end of the first 13 episodes. But no. But anyway, we're off topic.
But yeah, I mean, if you were, like you said, if you have other means of getting the episodes, I know UTW is subbing it slowly, but they're doing it. They're going to do that this season. I mean, I felt the same with what Sinful Gear is new this season. It's not, you know, getting attention or subbed at all, but some groups picking it up, so it's second in a while. But yeah, as far as Fate, the Apocalypse, it's like they're pulling from, I think, a lot of made up stories too. So all the characters that have, obviously, Frankenstein is not a real thing. So they're pulling from, like, these other stories, and even characters like Aphistio, whatever his name is, he's a made up character as well. He's not real. So they're pulling from a lot of these.
Fate Stay Night has done that before. Like,
right.
You know, with the assassin from the original Fate Stay Night, like, he wasn't an actual legendary hero. He was, you know, but like, that's the way the Grail works, is that if they're, like, legends and fiction basically are the same thing. And as long as people believed it or recognized it, it's all fair game.
True, yeah.
Well, again, it's still fantasy, so they can easily say that they're based and steeped in some sort of reality. Again, I just think, as I said, like, there's nothing redeeming about this show in terms of, like, most of the characters are like even the Arthurian Morgan being a girl, it's like they couldn't even try to say that. And it kind of triggered me because, like, she was like, oh, don't call me a girl. I'm better than a woman. It's like, but technically Arthur was a woman. Maybe in this universe, Arthur was a man. I don't know. It's just a little bit weird. It's a lot weird, honestly.
Well, Artoria hid the fact that she was a woman, but, you know, never mind. Like,
but Morgan's supposed to be the son, so, or the daughter in this case. Even the way she talked about him. You haven't seen it yet. The way she talked about him, he makes Arthur to be parent. So either A, Arthur is not Saber from, you know, the Stay Night or, you know, that series, or even Fate Zero, whatever it was called.
Fate Zero and Unlimited Blade Works.
Yeah, if it makes it sound like that's not the same Arthur in this universe, because their new universe, so that's confusing, I think, and I think a lot of us will be confused by that if that's not the case.
Yeah, because at the beginning they're trying to say, like, at the beginning, like, Nazis took the Grail at the beginning, so that's why the world's the way it is now. So yeah, they do set, you know, it's a different timeline, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing about it is there, each side has seven servants, and after they get them being the other team, they got to turn on each other. Then you say you got the other traditional, you know, seven
interesting,
spider.
Interesting premise done in the worst way possible.
Right, yeah. Yes, sure. So, Elmer, what are you not really enjoying so far? I see the one you have listed, but I haven't even seen that one.
I got in Another World, it was so forgettable that I forgot it and had to look at the list to remind myself which show I did not like. In Another World with my smartphone, it's a light novel adaptation. It's basically a really bad Konosuba, and I say that like it's not even that it's just really boring, and I get what they're kind of going for. It's a parody of the genre. Like, the dude is really good at everything, and, you know, he shows up, and it's just that, like, I get what they're trying to do. It's just really, really boring. I don't know if, like, the first episode just left such an impression on, like, or not left an impression on me that I just don't know if I'm going to watch another you know, episode to see where it goes. I don't know. It was, like I said, the worst thing that I can say about it is that it's a really boring Konosuba.
Right, yeah. I saw screenshots. I was like, nah, this is boring. This looks silly. No, I'm not going to even.
Steve, did you watch?
I had no idea what you were talking about. I looked it up. I just looked it up right now and looked at the image, and I was like, "This looks like shit."
And so the basic premise is that, you know, the main character dies, and God's like, "Sorry, I made a mistake," and he's like, "I'll let you. I'm going to reincarnate you into another world, and I'll let you take one thing with you." He's like, "Well, I guess I'm going to take my cell phone." And he's like, "Cool, I'm going to make it work for you, and you can call me whenever you want. So you have a direct line to God." And
what the hell? That just sounds stupid.
Like, and you know, if it sounds like, it sounds kind of funny, but just the way it's all done, it's not. Like, it's just not funny. It's not, like I said, it's really boring. And it could be good. It could be funny. It's just, not. So I would say just don't even bother. I wish that we had gotten a Konosuba season 3 instead of this.
At least he didn't say, "I'll let you take one thing," and he'd be like, "I'll take you."
Right. Then
it would have been a true knockoff.
But no, but God in this is he's literally just your stereotypical old man God.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, man. Like he literally is like, I kind of made a mistake and some lightning fell where it wasn't supposed to, and that's why you're dead, but I'm going to make it up to you. And when he, so basically this dude, he gets reincarnated into your stereotypical fantasy world, and he has his phone, and you know, like, it works because of magic, like he can recharge it with magic or whatever, and God made it so that he can access information from the real world, so he can still like browse the internet and stuff.
But he should get Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, if he wanted to, he could watch Netflix, but he can't call his original world. He can't interact with it in any way. But at the same time, God's like, "Yeah, you can call me whatever you want." It's as a premise, like, it could be like, I mean, like, you know, look at Konosuba, right? And ReZero and all these series that kind of have the same basic stuff. It's just that it's not good.
Yeah,
it's a little disappointing, frankly.
Kind of sounds a little bit like that a show that came out a long time ago, Multiple Choices or something, or Screwing My Life Up, where God's talking to him in that too, that he has to do everything he says to him. You know,
I thought that show was kind of funny.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah.
But this one,
you should got a new season of that instead of this.
Yeah.
For my not so like shows, I've seen the first episode Hajimete no Gal, which is a kind of, I guess not, it's a kind of romance, I think, technically, but not really. It's comical. But I found some of the jokes kind of funny, but overall it wasn't that interesting. I guess the main guy is just our typical virgin. He wants to get laid as fast as possible, but he's got to find the nearest girl. And his group of friends kind of talk him into talking to the bitchy girl of the class. But he just, you know, talks to her, and she somewhat finds him disgusting, but starts actually liking it, the attention maybe. And it's like she kind of
likes teasing him is what she likes.
Right, yeah. That too, yeah.
One thing I will say that I liked about the show was that it did not hold back.
True.
I think too many shows hold back on the true goal of a lot of people and what they're trying to do. But this show, he's literally like, "I just want to get laid."
Right, and that's all he's thinking about. Exactly.
To me, I thought that was kind of a hilarious thing. Like, even like when he was, you know, on his knees begging her to be his girlfriend, he was like, "I'm not getting up because I'm staring up at her crotch." And it's just that whole aspect to me, I thought was actually kind of funny.
The show is lewd, and it's not afraid of being lewd. Question: did you guys the version did you guys watch? Was it censored?
I downloaded the uncensored one.
Was there any real nudity in the uncensored one?
Nope.
Nope. Just the panther shots. All you got.
I watched the uncensored one. I was like, it didn't seem uncensored or censored, right. Okay. But it didn't seem like I saw anything either.
If you saw the censored version, then you know it was censored because they literally had, you know, like graphics on screen covering like the panty shots and stuff. But which is stupid because I saw, like, I went and looked up just the GIFs and screenshots of the uncensored version, and there's nothing like overly like that they could have shown.
Pretty powerful outlines, I guess you could say.
Yeah, right, but like, you know, so anyway, like, it's just the way that they did the censorship made it seem like there was more to be seen, but yeah, at one point they were like covering her breast in the imagine spot where like he was fantasizing or whatever. And I was like, oh, I guess there's gonna be nipples under there for the Blu-ray version. And then I saw the uncensored version and like, no, there was no nipples. They were like, her hair was covering it. I was like, come on.
Right. You're
gonna censor it. Don't like, you know, don't BS me.
Well, that, and he had this I guess childhood friend character who was in middle school, had these massive boobs. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
No, she's like, she's in there.
She's
high school.
In high school now.
Okay, yeah, she's first year.
But she's like, I want to say like 5 foot something, maybe even shorter than that.
But, no way, she's shorter. She's got
way shorter than that.
With boobs that are way too big.
The main kids, like friends, were talking about her, how elementary school girls are the best. I'm like, Jesus, these kids. Like they think that's what they want her to be. Like,
I did find the friends hilarious. Like the whole, like when they're sitting there, just like, we're just gonna read porn magazines in the middle of class, and it's like, why? Because it ruins the atmosphere of everybody.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Everyone's
yeah.
like, what are these guys doing? This is so gross. And I did like all that was like, to me, I found the show pretty funny. Like. Mm-hmm. Probably funnier than I should find it,
right?
But I don't know if I'll watch the whole series or anything like that because it is a little ridiculous. And it's just kind of
I'm watching it
your
for the
lower, yeah, whatever.
And it's only 10 episodes, so I mean,
that's true.
Nine more to go, I guess. but yeah, the friends were pretty funny. I did think it was kind of over ridiculous how everyone in the class, the first time you see him, is making out with a girl, touching a girl. I'm like, Jesus. Like, is everybody, like, the guy, even they made the comment, too, that is everybody got a girl here? Like, jeez.
I will say that, like, you know, if I was him in that school where everybody except for him was, like, literally getting laid, I'd be like, yeah, no, this needs to stop.
Like, anyone got some rope? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But yeah, I mean, I'll probably watch it since, you know, it is only 10, and, you know. But it is, I do find it funny that Funimation has this show, so it's like almost like they're obligated to pick up at least one ecchi show a season, like they have to.
Oh, you know they're going to pick it up, because it's going to be really watched, and they're going to make a lot of money off of it, so... Mm-hmm. To be fair, Funimation might be a business, and you might say, "Oh, there's their
right,
ups."
True.
Come on, so
right, they know what they're getting into, because they picked up that I forgot the butt one where they were hitting each other in the butts. They picked that one.
Hey,
last
Keijo was a masterpiece, all right.
Yeah, I like that one. But I was just saying they picked that one up, and like last season they picked up the Demon Girls. I think that one was last season. Just recently. But so is there any other shows you guys want to talk about that we left off or
not really. Like, you know, if we're talking about like returning shows, I'm glad that New Game's back. Mm-hmm. Also happy about continuing My Hero Academia. For a show that I wasn't too fond of, I tried to watch the Centaur show. I can't remember the exact name of it. But
yeah, I'm trying to watch that too. It's not it's no Monster Girls, or it's no Interviews with Monster either.
It really isn't. Like, you know, when we had, like you said, like Monster Musume, which was like kind of like the first one to really jump on that Monster Girl train, and Interviews with Monster Girls, like two really good shows for what they were. Like, they were good at what they did. You know, the Centaur show is just really bland and not interesting.
Animation is not that great. And
yeah, it's a that, you know, the fact that it's a Chinese co-production, you can really tell with the animation. But no, I didn't make it through the entire episode. That's just how uninterested I was with it.
Right, yeah, I don't blame you. It's very interesting to get into. That I don't think I really have anything either. Just there's a lot of mixed shows. I mean, there's obviously every season there's something for everybody. I mean, I'm glad Sinful Gear's back. That's one of my shows I was looking forward to for returning shows. And we did mention Gundam, but yeah, it's only a 6-minute short, which kind of bums me out. But it looks good, though. I mean, I guess it's a good thing to say.
Right.
Well, I guess if there's nothing else, I can switch to you guys next week or next time for another episode where we talk about more shows. All right, see ya.
All right, man. Don't 続けた
いくつ夜を重ね